Welcome to They'll Be Fine.
We're your hosts, Kim Heckman,
Trinette Attree,
and Lisa Pagano.
You've probably heard it before. They're smart, they're gifted, they'll be fine. But what if that's not always true?
In this podcast, we'll explore the surprising struggles that many gifted students face that lead to underachievement, as well as discuss practical strategies to help these brilliant minds reach their full potential.
Because they deserve better than just being fine. Let's give them what they really need to thrive and succeed. In this episode, Michelle Lorsey and Brian Barnes from the College Board join the podcast to talk about how advanced placement is evolving from better course roadmaps and AP classroom tools to more relevant project-based courses. They break down what's changed and why it matters. We also dig into the North Carolina AP partnership, rising AP results across the state, and what parents should know about readiness, perseverance, and study skills, especially for gifted kids who haven't hit many academic speed bumps yet. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Good afternoon, Michelle and Brian, and thank you so much for being here to be part of They'll Be Fine. We are excited to talk to you about advanced placement, advanced coursework, what's happening in North Carolina, and any College Board updates. So maybe we can get started with talking about AP and how it's really evolved over time. What has changed about AP in recent years that makes this conversation around advanced coursework really different than what it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even farther beyond that?
Yeah, such a great question. Thank you so much, Trinette and Lisa, for having us on. We're excited about, being part of the podcast and just the opportunity to reach out to your audience. And hopefully we can talk about something that makes sense. But to answer your question, it's a lot has changed in AP over the last 10 years, but really in the last 5 years. So in North Carolina, particularly, I think we've moved from that idea of looking for who's ready to preparing all students instead of like hoping that, these kids who we invested in. So I think that's a big change in the way North Carolina has approached it since the start of the North Carolina AP partnership. And then in the last 5 years, and Michelle can talk about it more than I can, in the last 5 years, College Board has really done a much better job of providing for AP teachers a more intentional roadmap and for students in order to prepare. So in 2020, a set of tools came to teachers, and College Board created them, AP Classroom. And the AP Classroom tools, along with a course and exam description. So before that, if you know much about AP, or if you're a student who was in AP before that time, which maybe our listeners are, they would know that a lot of it was guesswork. You know, the teacher would do the best to cover the material, but there was this sprint to the end. We got all this material to cover, all this content, but we also have skills to teach. Well, the content drove the skills in those days because I'm a history teacher. So if we could just get to the Civil War by, this day, we'd be fine. If we could just get to, but I wasn't teaching the skills at the level that I think I could. A lot of people weren't. So College Board went back and created a very intentional course and exam description, which lays out for teachers all the things that they should be working toward that will be tested. So instead of guesswork and finding old tests and clipping them off and pasting them down, the teachers can actually use this as a roadmap, and it shows them the type of semester. If it's a one semester course, then plot it out for them in segments that match the time that they have. If it's a full year course, it's plotted out. So lots of ways for them to see that, but it's not a script. It's rubric. These are the things that fall underneath that, and here's how you get there. And then the second thing and most important thing were the tools attached to AP Classroom. All of a sudden now we're working, instead of reading a map to see where we're going, we have GPS. We can look and we can get to the students in the classroom. So teachers can now differentiate to meet the needs of students in their classroom in real time. Administrators can work with them to do that. And parents and students at home have access to things like AP daily videos and progress check questions and things that are appropriate for the time. So I think it's really important to say in this particular context, because a lot of times our gifted students, we forget that differentiation needs to happen in all classrooms. Just because a student is designated as a gifted student doesn't mean that they don't have certain learning abilities and certain areas where they need more help. So I think this allows us to assume that an AP teacher can do the kind of differentiation we need for all students in their classroom. And our results in North Carolina really reflect that.
So we've talked a little bit about results. When you look at recent AP results across North Carolina, what are you most encouraged by?
I'm most encouraged by something that is really rare. So when you increase the number of students that you let sit in an AP classroom, when you open the gate, so to say, like North Carolina has, when you do something as revolutionary, not revolutionary, but as important as provide universal AP exam fee waiver for all of your students in your state, you suddenly create the situation where you could have more different students having the opportunity to take the exam or see the exam scores go down because the students had less preparation than the students who previously were in that class, right? So we open the door. These kids who normally weren't in AP classes are now in AP classes. You would expect that the percentage of students around the state would drop, even though the number of students would grow. That has not happened. Both the percentage of students taking the exams and the percentage of students scoring a 3, 4, or 5, which is a college credit bearing score, has gone up and it exponentially. So what it shows us is there were a lot of kids who were ready to excel and succeed in these courses that weren't in the seats already. And what could we do if we were to impact the pipeline for more kids who probably have the skill set that came to school under-resourced or have other barriers that we don't know or don't have a concerned adult like a lot of our kids that are traditional AP students have. Those kids, if we got to them earlier, they could do more. So I'm super encouraged by the fact that both participation and performance are growing at the same time. Setting North Carolina records and on track to catch and surpass what's going on nationally. So pretty impressive.
And to add to what Brian has said, every district, every region in our state went up, every region, in number of students, number of exams, and 3, 4, 5 qualifying scores. And that's amazing to me. That's not what you expect to see. And we had growth in every subgroup in every region. And so that's what's most important to us, is that every student is having the opportunity to show their best on the AP exam. It's measured. It carries weight and importance. So when we think about our academically gifted students, the assumption that they walk into an AP class and they'll be fine, we just have to give them a lot of homework, we have to make them read a lot in the evenings, we have to give them 100 practice problems. The resources debunk all of that. And the resources say every child who is in an AP course needs to be taught and needs this amount of content for this introductory college course in order to demonstrate this skill. And that's the beauty of what these resources have done, is they give all students the ability to shine. And even our academically gifted students who may not have been given that ability to shine because they weren't getting the instruction they needed.
And when you're a gifted student and you're in that situation, it's sometimes hard to measure whether you're up against the competition. Like, you make great in the class, but there's always so many competitors at your school. But if you compare yourself to a national third-party evaluated measure, now suddenly you can say, yeah, I'm ready to compete for the same college spots and the same jobs and the same careers and the same high-wage, outcomes as anybody else in the country, even if I'm in the smallest district in North Carolina. And I think that's one of the things that our General Assembly has been super wise. It's like really smart policy and good partnership, the things that we try to do through the North Carolina AP partnership. Lisa, if I can tag on to what Michelle, you said to me, what has made AP different in the last few years? I talked about North Carolina and the changes in the way that aggressive way that we're going after more kids having the opportunity to show that they're ready and compete. We talked also about the idea that AP has changed in the way for teachers prepare and the way students, the tools for students. The third thing I would say, and this is really, really important, it's more relevant. The courses that we're offering now make more sense to the students. Students today aren't like students when I went to school back when your SAT score was shipped to you on a stone tablet.
Not the stone tablet.
Yeah. Kids are more like, what's in it for me? Like, and they shouldn't be, right? We live in a consumer-driven society. They have lots of options of how they can learn that are not traditional, and lots of people that are begging and, you know, pleading for their attention. So how do we do that? So the courses have become more relevant, and they've also become project-based. So I'll give you some ideas of some of the more relevant courses. And one of the ones I think is really the fastest-growing course in North Carolina has been AP African American Studies. This is a beautiful course. If you've not had a chance to see somebody teach it or walk into a classroom, or if your child has a chance to take this course, it's so well designed and so well thought out. 10 years at College Board trying to make sure that all the experts in the country and were involved in the making of this, and the students get involved and they have their own voice, right? And I think that student agency is so huge, and they're involved in a project and they're allowed to bring their ideas and their thoughts and express things in a safe environment that sometimes these days don't feel safe to discuss. So super exciting to have that. And then I think another course that's like that is AP Seminar. AP Seminar actually is a course that does not have a specific content. It has a project. It's a group-based project academic course where they do it. And a seminar course, and they present. So they learn these durable skills that are so important. They're outlined in our Portrait of a Graduate here in North Carolina. But those skills that you're going to use no matter where you go, how do you collaborate? How do you present? How do you communicate your ideas? How do you respectfully disagree? How do you then come back together after a disagreement and build out force? So cooperation, collaboration. So those project-based work inspires teachers because we're learning from the kids. And if you haven't ever had a chance to sit in an AP seminar classroom in the spring, when they come and do their presentations, some of those things that they do blow my mind. I mean, the kids, they choose, right? They choose a subject as a group. They do the homework on it. They get it approved by the teacher. But this is an academic research project. So that one's a really cool one. AP Cybersecurity, again, another great course that's going. So I think, and we're bringing in business and personal finance. And it's going to be actually where students take a business problem from a real business and they try to solve it. It's also going to be personal finance, like take a family, quote unquote, a family budget, find out what that family's priorities are and work on their budget. Hopefully it'll be your family so you can go back and tell your mom and dad what they should do different. But even if it's not your family, maybe it's your personal budget. A lot of our kids are on their own budgets. But this idea that they would get practical work instead of a bunch of, you know, content, but no skills. We want the kids to walk out of there with something to do. So I've over-talked your question, but it was such a big question. I felt like I needed to come back to it. Relevance, tools and resources to get ready, and North Carolina setting up students to succeed in a very powerful way that's a national model for success.
I love it. And I think it's all these factors coming together. Like, it's not one single thing that we can point to and be like, that's it. That's what we did. That's how success happens. It's all of these things coming together. And I just feel like the work of College Board has been so intentional around it. And the work and support in North Carolina has been outstanding. So just hearing you guys talk about the data and how not only have we increased access, but we've increased success simultaneously, that doesn't always happen. And so it didn't happen by accident, right?
Right.
So College Board, again, you have provided incredible support to our districts and to our schools. Can you tell us a little bit about the North Carolina AP partnership? What that is, how it works, and what types of support you are providing to districts that's helping really increase that success rate.
Absolutely. So thank you for that question. I am the senior director of the North Carolina AP Partnership. So this is a program that's been around. The General Assembly enacted it in 2014, and we've been working with the State of North Carolina College Board directly as partners with NCDPI. We're lucky enough to work with the Office of Office of Learning and Gifted Education.
Advanced Learning and Gifted Ed. Yep, you got
Yeah, there we go. So anyway, we're lucky to work with them. We have Neha Shah Coltrane, who leads that work. And then Beth Cross is my direct partner for life. We are best buddies at work all day long. So just so lucky to have that level of engagement and from the state. So, but the North Carolina AP Partnership has been funded at $2 million a year since 2014. The work that we do is about helping more different students get opportunities to try their best at AP courses. We're not trying to get everybody to make a 3, 4, or 5. The North Carolina AP Partnership has been around for 10 years. The work we do is about helping more different kids get ready. And how we do that work is by making sure that we have professional development that's cutting edge. We have a team of 4 that works in North Carolina. One is a former counselor. The other one is a former CAO. And another one is a former AP teacher. So we actually, and I'm a former principal as well. I know we have other administrators on the team. We've all done several roles, but we actually represent the groups that we present with. So our goal is to be sure that we're moving the school or the district as a unit for an understanding that more kids could succeed at this and that AP is not a trophy. It's not a trophy just for kids who got there ready. AP is a measure, an indicator, a lever, a systemic level lever to help them drive readiness across the board. That doesn't mean every student needs to have 14 AP classes. We know that the research shows that that's not even 5 is enough. And 1 is great. 1 is what makes the big difference. From 0 to 1 opportunity is the biggest difference maker. But the job that we do is working around the state with that. We host conferences. We do in-district professional development training. We do parent nights. We do online parent nights. We're looking to expand that. So if there are parents listening and want to know more about AP, be on the lookout because we will use this. We'll use NCAGT to get the word out when we have parent webinars. But we just really, what we're trying to do is educate everybody and move the state along to be, as the superintendent and the new strategic plans, be the best in the nation. I mean, it's a very daunting but simple goal. The State Board of Education and the superintendent and the people around the state, they want North Carolina to be the leader in AP success, access, and opportunity. So we're here to do that.
It's so amazing all that you do to support the districts and our students and our teachers so that we can have the data we have where we've seen so much growth and experienced so much success. As a parent of a middle schooler who's going to be going into high school, and this is my only child, so this is my first rodeo, I'm sure that a lot of parents that are listeners probably want to know, you've talked about readiness and support and making sure these kids are successful. What can I do as a parent to make sure that my child will be successful in an AP course? Or how do I know as a parent that my kid is ready for AP, that they're going to be successful? Parents are a really important support piece in the success of all of our students. So can you talk to us a little bit about how you kind of help support parents and what we can do for our kids?
I would say, first of all, that the fact that you're asking that question is important. Like, just to assume that by a student's grades alone, when you haven't seen, it's hard. It's really hard as a parent. Because I know, you know, this teacher may grade a little differently than that teacher. And I is my kid ready? And how do I know? Especially the kids we have the most trouble identifying are straight A students. Because what's the level? They've maxed out everything and they've never seen the deep end of the pool. So I would say to you, get them ready for, this sounds terrible, but they should be ready to understand that A is something that you have to work for. Like, stretch them beyond their comfort zone. Find teachers. Leave them in classes where teachers are pushing them. When I was a high school principal, I would have kids and we put them in AP for the first time in high school in 9th grade or maybe in 10th grade. And parents would call me by, 2 or 3 weeks into school and say, my child needs to be out there. They've never made a B before. Or they made a C on the first test and this is the wrong class. They're overwhelmed. And I would say, I really appreciate you calling. But I want you to understand that this is what's supposed to happen. We find areas that a student's not strong in and we test them beyond their comfort zone, but not, scary, dangerous, oh, I'm overwhelmed. But we want them to be just below overwhelmed. So if your student goes to school every day and they make straight A's, but you never see them do any work, you need to find ways and you need to encourage ways and think about that, because it's not a sustainable model. They're going to hit a wall. I was a middle school principal and a high school principal. My goal was to make them hit the wall. I want you to hit a wall now in high school or middle school while you have people who sit in the bleachers and the pews and I see at the grocery store who will stop and say, hey, little Johnny fell behind. Susie's not doing her homework. People who, there's a support system. Once you're off at college, there's not that kind of support system. If they're going to call you, parents, they're going to call you to ask you about the check. They're not going to tell you that they didn't have the homework. So this idea that they know what to do when it doesn't come easy, I think particularly for our gifted parents, what do they do when it's not so simple? And so when you're looking for, are they ready? That's what you're looking for. Those challenge opportunities where they have to do work around. What happens when a great student hits the first wall? Well, if we have a good support system, they learn how to take notes. They learn how to form study groups. They do all the things, because if we don't do it now with our gifted kids, if we don't think about it early, they'll go off to college and many of them will be back working around town at a local job by Christmas, not because they weren't smart enough, because they never seen the deep end of the pool. So they got to college and they never tested themselves. They just took honors classes, but they never took AP. They never saw what they looked like. And so this idea of over-preparing a student like that, and like embracing when they miss it, as long as it wasn't a lazy miss, right? If you didn't do your homework, I'm not embracing that. But if you made your first 60 on a test and I saw you study for it, you just didn't study the right way, I should say that's a good thing. We're not trying to have a kid with a perfect record. A kid making a B or a C or a D or an F is a really good thing, because diagnostically we can help. So I think as a middle school parent, I'd want somebody to tell me the truth, especially of a gifted student. Don't just accept A's as A's. And when they have a complaint about a bump in the road, see if you can't use that bump in the road as a learning lesson that's softer than a learning lesson. Like, everybody hits a wall, right? You may not hit an academic wall. You hit a financial wall, a health wall. What do you do when it doesn't come easy? And I think that level of grit is really important. So if that answers your question, that's a really long one too.
And one of the things that I love about advanced placement, when we have multiple and wonderful opportunities for advanced learning in North Carolina, one of the things I love about advanced placement is it's transparent. So I'm going to put my parent hat on. The new resources came out when my girl was in the 10th grade, and her first course was AP World History. And I had taught AP for 16 years without any of these resources. But I can go online and look at what she should be learning in any AP course. And to me as a parent, I think what I would want to know is, I want my teachers to be able to tell me that they're using the course and exam description, and that they're using the AP classroom, and that I'll be able to see my child's data on progress for skill mastery. Because that's very important for parents that I know are listening to this podcast. We know that AP is about perseverance and not perfection. So if we really believe that, we want our teachers to help support that concept by making sure that everything that they're doing in the classroom is aligned to what they would be doing in an introductory level college course that will be measured on the AP exam. So parents can see that information, students can see that information. And it's just important to be able to see the broad concept of what we're going to accomplish at the end of this course. So I think the best preparation for students is to know that their teachers are going to prepare them for the exam. And as Brian was saying, we may hit learning curves we haven't hit before because of the level of critical thinking, but it is so going to pay off in the end.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I think that, yeah, Michelle says that about the opportunities for the kids to practice and learn. We're not saying that to be arrogant because we're the College Board. We're saying that because this course was developed by college professors and high school teachers, the best in the country, working together, this curriculum, this lesson plans. So in a time where we have a lot of new teachers, you know, we think it's important that they have this. They may have a lot of good intentions and good content knowledge, but teaching is an art. And this website helps bring together the pedagogy, the timing. And so that's why we said, yeah, I'd want to trust that too, because the whole point is, my kid's going to be held to the same standard of every kid in the country. And I need to know that this teacher is holding them to the same standard that every kid in the country is being held to, or that every student who takes this course in the world, actually. Mm-hmm. So more than just the country. I want to tag one thing. There is a concern that I really have about our parents and the information that they have about AP and what they need to know. So we can come back around to it, or I can address it now.
I think it would be great to address it now. You brought up so many good points in that we're looking at both the knowledge and the content they're going to get from the course. But I think even more importantly, what you both brought up were what we call those soft skills, which are not really soft skills. They're the skills that we utilize every day as adults in our jobs. It's the, what do you do when something goes wrong? How do you handle that? How do you problem mm-hmm. solve? How do you critically think? And I think AP courses are such a great way for students in a safe space to play around with those ideas, to critically think, to problem solve with a teacher that's there to guide them through that. Of course, with the background and all the resources you have for the content piece, but just in that soft skill piece. So I would love it if you could speak a little bit more about some of the maybe the misconceptions parents have.
I think you hit on one of them right there, which is this idea that it's a safe space. So this is the safest space there is, because you have a high school course that's being taught. And you're getting a high school grade for a high school course that's given to you by your teacher. That's what goes on your transcript. And yet you have this opportunity to take an exam when you're done to see if what you learned applies for college credit. In other situations, dual enrollment, once you're in the class, you've actually started your transcript. Your college transcript starts because you're dually enrolled. So there's this safe space in an AP class to take some chances. And obviously your high school grades matter. When colleges and universities look at your high school transcripts, they're also going to measure whether or not you took the highest level of rigor available in the school that you went to. So if you're in an honors class, but there's an AP, your honors English, but there's AP Lit or Lang at your school, there's a question on their transcript to say, hey, why would this student not have taken the most challenging course available? So I think that parents should weigh these things out, but it is a safe space and they should feel comfortable that their kid can get behind an AP. Make a comeback. We want them to make a comeback sometime. Hopefully they will have gotten behind in middle school and had to make a comeback. But those soft skills, what do you do when it doesn't come easy? How do you respond to setbacks? Those things tend to happen. Then also, how do you ask for help? One of the things I found when I was a principal, one of the hardest things kids had to do was to ask teachers for help. And you need to train them to advocate for themselves before they go to college, because they're not going to do it there if they couldn't do it in high school. So I'd say they come to me, Mr. Barnes, my teacher won't help me. Well, what did you say? I said, I don't get it. I was like, oh, so you said you don't get it and they didn't help you right away? And then they'd say, what didn't you get? Stuff? What kind of stuff? Junk? What kind of junk? Things? So you don't get stuff and junk and things, and you can't understand why your teacher doesn't understand why, what kind of help you need. And it's just articulating that, like, to kids and thinking about that. I'll tell you another thing is, like, just simple things like how to break down a textbook. Like, I would find my kids, even in AP courses, they would say, oh, I can skip this part because I don't have as much reading to do because this has a big graph and chart on it. So they would skip the graph and chart because we had assigned them the reading, but the graph and chart was the focus of the reading. So you don't realize the little things like that that a teacher can pick up. I think I lost my train of thought there. What were we at? What was I answering before?
No, that's great, because I think as a parent, you get this. It's hard. They don't even articulate to you what they need help with, what they, you know, like my daughter the other day said, oh, I don't need to study for that. I feel like I already know it. Or nobody's ever really taught me how to study. And so that's my fear, is that she's going to go into high school and take AP coursework and have no idea how to study, because for a lot of gifted kids up to this point, they haven't had to. They haven't had to struggle.
Right.
They haven't had to learn how to study because it has always come kind of easily to them. And for the first time taking an AP course, they're kind of like, oh, let's put the brakes on. I guess I don't know how to do this. I guess I'm not really clear on how to take notes, how to study. And so I feel like that AP experience is going to be so beneficial for them to be successful when they go into college and go in there with skills on how to advocate for themselves, how to study, how to take notes appropriately, so that they can be successful with the types of thinking they're asked to do in college, which is the same as they're asked to do in an AP course.
You hit on something that's really cool too. So AP flips the script in one really important way. The teacher and the student are both going to judgment day together. So now I'm your coach, you're my player, and we're all going to the big game in May. And all of us are going to be disappointed if you don't do well. It's not a test I wrote that you're going up against. The two of us are preparing you. So now all of a sudden, I think that changes the dynamic and the safety in the room for those students, because now all of a sudden, I used to have my kids, I'm like, hey, when you come in that classroom, I expect you to pull your pencil out like a sheath. You are in the battle against College Board to get these answers right. We've been practicing all year long for this. So the excitement and I think a lot of that comes to the table. But you're right. Emma, your daughter and her situation, this is going to be ideal. If you can help keep it in perspective, that there is going to be a bump. You're going to see. And listen, 80, 90% of the time, the kids rise to it. They start figuring out themselves. They scramble. They get their study groups together. Because she won't be the only one who's the first time gets hit like this. So that's what you should prepare for. I'm excited about you having this challenge. I know it's going to help us, but we need to know. You want to be really good at what you do. Let's compare ourselves to the best in the world. And this is okay. And it's a great challenge for you. And also, what a lot of people don't get is a 3, 4, or 5 are generally college credit bearing scores, but a 2 on an AP exam signifies readiness. So let's say you took AP biology as a junior in high school and you made a 2 on the exam. This means when you go to college the year after next and you take AP biology, you are perfectly set to do well in AP biology. I mean, in college level biology. In fact, I used to have kids do this to me all the time. They say, hey, Mr. Barnes, I remember I made that 2 on that chemistry exam. Now I'm at the community college. I'm taking chemistry and I'm the teacher's assistant because I took the AP course. So even though I didn't get the credit then, now that I'm taking the course, I don't feel like I have to unwind it. I'm actually reviewing something I've already seen. And isn't that what we want? It's great if kids can get accelerated credit. I get it for parents and the money and the funding. I had one that went more than 4 years to college and it wasn't fun and for him or me. So I know how important it is to get your credits and get them to count. But I do think that this opportunity, this challenge is so important. And kids get a chance to have some self-agency. You know, I think another important point of our work in the partnership is we make it very clear. We're not trying to have more AP students. We're not trying to set more kids up to set for exams. We want students who leave high school, every student who leaves high school, to make choices about their future instead of having those choices made for them. And having an AP credential makes a better key that's going to unlock more doors for you down the road. It's that simple. And even if you didn't get the credential, the fact that you were exposed to the speed of the game, that you've been to the deep end of the pool, is going to help you later in life across all, you know, all of the durable skills that we discussed earlier.
Yeah, this is an important conversation around the skills, making sure that we're instilling grit in kids. Can we talk a little bit about mindset, like mindset of maybe parents, teachers, and kids, where maybe a kid doesn't see themselves as like, I'm not an AP kid, AP is not for me, or a teacher who's like, no, that kid's not going to do well in AP, or even a parent who's like, there's no way, like, you put my kid in AP, are you crazy? Can we talk a little bit about those mindsets and how districts can better identify and prepare students who may not see themselves as successful in that class or course and not want to take an AP course?
Lisa, that's such a great question. And it piggybacks on what Brian has been talking about, is that in a time when GPAs really are being judged as what they are, which is extremely subjective. Higher education is looking at the courses that were taken and what are the measures of those courses. And I think that what parents need to truly know about AP is that it's not elitist. This is not a state where it's about who qualifies. It's about how well do we prepare the students for the AP exam. That's the measure. And that's why AP exams are so widely accepted, in our state for such a high level of credit is because of what students are required to show on that exam. So what AP teachers are able to do, they are able to open the doors to their AP classrooms because the tools that they have been given allow them to meet students where they are in the very beginning of that class. That's the scaffolding of the instruction, of the scope and sequence of the course. So any student who has met the natural progression of courses and it's time for an AP course, they're ready for it. And they have to invest in themselves because the value of that AP course and what they're able to show on a measurable international exam really ranks higher than taking a whole bunch of courses that are going to give me this weighted GPA, when I think parents need to truly understand that the value of that GPA is secondary and sometimes fifth on a list of what higher ed is looking at. They want to see the courses that they're taking, and they want to see, okay, you made a 2 in that course. That's great. I would encourage every parent to Google UNC Chapel Hill AP credit policy, and then go and look at, you take an AP course, here's the credit Chapel Hill is going to give you. And I say Chapel Hill because that's our standard bearer in North Carolina. But Chapel Hill has got a score of 2 on there, not to earn college credit, but to show students, you make a 2 in AP Calculus AB, fantastic. You don't have to take a placement test. We're going to go ahead and place you out of these 2 math courses because of your work on an AP exam and put you here. That's the value that cannot be replicated of an AP type course, because students are able to show that they have persevered and developed a skill set, and they didn't have to be perfect when they did it, which was something that my AIG child struggled with. She had thought she had to be perfect at everything she did. And what she learned through her AP classes was, I didn't have to be perfect. I could not be perfect in Unit 1, and I could develop my skills that by the time I got to Unit 7, I knew what to do. So I would love for parents to realize that their students do not need to know everything before they go into an AP course. They need to be willing to start and develop their skills and allow themselves to, as Brian said, fail safely in this room.
And I think every parent listening to this just gave a collective sigh. Because I think there's so much pressure on us as parents too, and then that transfers to our children. But to hear you say that, you know, that 2 on the exam, it might not have gotten you the college credit, but it lets them know you are ready. You are going to be successful in college, and to give them the confidence going into a place like Chapel Hill with that, I think that's so important. And it makes me feel so much better as a parent. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Thank you. And I would encourage all parents, sit down at the computer with your child and say, you know, you may not know what you want to do after college. You don't have to know. You're too young. You don't have to worry about that right now. But if we're thinking about the courses that we're interested in, or in my daughter's case, she said, I know you and Daddy were English teachers. I hate it. I'm never taking another English course again. Broke our hearts because she's a STEM girl. And so I said, okay, you know what you got to do. You got to perform on those AP English classes. So you'll never have to take it again. And that became her driving motivation. So we sat down at the computer. We looked at every college that she was interested in to see, if I make a 5 on AP English language or AP English literature, am I done? Am I done with these English courses? And we checked all of her schools and found out, yep, she'd be done. And she did it. And she has not taken an English class since. And good for her, I say.
I think also like a misconception, we were talking about a misconception we found this last year that was really eye-opening to us. We were meeting with school leaders and with counselors and student services people, and we started talking to them about what a three counts for across the UNC system. Like, what does it count for at this school? A three on this course, a three. So a three, four, or five. So what we found were several discrepancies. So I think a misconception parents and some school leaders have is that it's a one-to-one correlation, that if you pass AP Biology in North Carolina, you make a three, four, or five on the exam, that you get one credit for biology. But Michelle, you know different. You were the one who brought this up. So tell us what happens in some of these situations.
Well, I think this is, you know, really important to inform and arm ourselves with information, because in the UNC system schools from Chapel Hill to A&T up to Western Carolina, across the state, the 16 UNC system schools, we have the UNC credit policy, which says that a three is equitable to college credit, and we're going to tell you which college credit that it replaces, that you get the college credit for. But what we're finding for AP Biology, for instance, is that a four is going to earn a student 8 college credit hours, 2 courses and 2 labs. Now, all of the UNC system schools must abide by the three. That's the policy. But they have flexibility is what they do with the fours and fives. And I'd send you back to UNC Chapel Hill again, our flag bearer, where if a student makes a 5 on AP Spanish Literature and Culture, Chapel Hill is awarding that student 12 credit hours. It's on their website. So we want to invest in ourselves. That's what I always tell our students and parents. Invest in ourselves. Go and look at what the equivalents will be for your specific AP exam. That 3 is probably going to get you 3 credit hours. What's a 4 and a 5 going to do? And, you know, we have some schools, I'm thinking UNCC, you make a 3, 4, or 5 on a U.S. history or world history, you're getting 6 credit hours, 2 courses. And in some cases, you'll be done with that general education requirement, as my child was with the English. She never had to read another story again, where she said, sometimes, Mama, a blade of grass is just a blade of grass.
Yeah, students just need to be smart consumers. And so in this age of AI, first of all, College Board has a website where you can go to find AP credit policy. So go to the College Board website. And then once you've seen what College Board says, go to the website, because it's going to tell you, always go to the school's website itself, because they could be having a meeting right now, Lisa, while we're talking, and changing some rule,
and we
don't know it. So you got to go all the way and do your own homework. But this is about that idea of self-agency and self-advocacy. Like, we can really teach our kids a lot by having them do that. We're working to make sure the people around the state know that, but a lot of people took dual enrollment courses. So they took a course in high school. They're a parent now. That course equated to exactly 1 credit, and that was great. And we're happy about it. We want all the credits we can get. Dual enrollment and AP exist together. Like, a strong portfolio is going to have both of those in it. But I need AP to push me beyond my comfort zone and make sure that I'm competing with a national group of peers. But I also need this opportunity to know that if it counts more. It's strategy. I mean, we're playing a strategy game. So again, if you're the kind of parent that has that kind of engagement with your student, then together, the two of you take this on. Get on AI. Say, hey, these are the colleges we want to go to. These are the courses that are offered in my school. You know, what's the best track for me? And I'm telling you, there's lots of things to be learned by that. So I think that's a really important. It's one of the things we're most working with DPI on. Is we feel like there is a gap in understanding of how this works, why you would take an AP course, and how that credit could be applied more broadly, and that it matters when you don't make a 3, 4, or 5, and it matters when you do make a 3, and it's a little different if you make a 4, and maybe a little different when you make a 5. So, you know, I think that's a big misconception.
That's awesome. There's so many incredible benefits to taking at least 1 AP course.
Yes.
And I want to say that I think it's an exciting time for AP in general, but I think it's even more exciting for AP in North Carolina. Our time together is coming to an end very quickly. It's crazy, right? It goes so quick. So I was wondering if we could maybe wrap up with a quick lightning round where I just kind of ask you both for one quick response to three questions. So it's going to go like rapid fire. This is the first time we've done it on the podcast. So it might be an epic fail or it might be beautiful. So we'll just see.
I like it both ways. Let's find out what happens.
Yeah, right. We're pushing ourselves. Look,
yes, it'll be entertaining.
Even though I'm not quite a teenager.
Yeah.
All right. So lightning round. Ready? What is one myth about AP you wish would disappear?
That it's only for a certain group of students. That only a certain group of students could succeed, whether that whatever in your mind those students are. I think that a lot of us, and that it would be overwhelming and intimidating.
Yep. That AP is for the anointed. Not true. AP is for every child.
For the prepared. It's for the prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love it. What's one practice you wish every AP school or every school would adopt?
The right AP class at the right time. Not all AP classes need to be offered. We need to find the best AP classes that meet what our ninth graders need, what our 10th graders need, and we need to not be taking 10 AP classes necessarily. We need to be doing well with the ones that we take for a specific and intentional reason.
Right. I agree with her. Absolutely. I wish schools and people understood that the race for valedictorian is not the deal. And the research backs this. 5 AP classes. After 5 AP classes, I guess the law of diminishing returns kicks in. You don't see, you're as prepared as you're going to get. There's a little bit of gain as you go further, but truthfully, 0 to 1 is the largest gain for students as far as their graduation on time and succeeding. And then 5 becomes the max. Lots of kids are going to go further than that because they're interested. But I'm just telling you, once your kids have 5 AP exams, they're in good shape. So, you can keep on doing it because you're interested in school, but you don't have to do it for readiness as much. So I want schools to get that. And I think the other thing I would say to answer the question is schools should be using the tools we just talked about. AP yes. Classroom, course and exam description. Don't be wandered out. Use AP as an intentional lever, not a trophy that you have at your school for the students who are ready for it, but intentional lever by which you measure readiness for your entire school.
I love it. And then our final question in the lightning round. One question you wish district leaders would ask you more often.
How can I make sure that every student is successful in AP?
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. I think they ask me a lot. And this one is concerning a little bit, but it's still true. They ask me, how do I change the mindsets of the adults in my building? They mean mindsets of their, of their teachers, mindsets of their school leaders, and clearly, counselors, but also students, parents' mindsets. Oh, my kid, I don't want to be overwhelmed. That's too much work. It's not too much work. It's not extra work. It's more thoughtful work. It's a different work than they've been asked to do in the past. But they're going to do work. Let it be work worth doing.
Yes.
That's a nugget right there. Let it be work worth doing.
And Lisa, Trinette, can I add one more thing?
Yes.
Don't give up your elective courses for the sake of a GPA. Because you need your music and your art and all of your other courses that don't carry honors weight. Okay, they don't carry honors weight. Take them. Because your colleges and universities want to see the substantial contribution you made to your whole approach, even if you're not going to be in the top 10 because of that GPA. It's okay.
Yes. Thank you for saying that. I think as a parent, you have affirmed everything that I was hoping you would say. You have shared strategies and tips and made me feel so much better about how I'm guiding my child. I hope that the parents listening feel the same way. I hope the students listening also feel less pressure and more prepared to want to take an AP course and to know that they can do it.
Yes.
And that even if you don't get the 3, 4, or 5, it was worth doing and it's okay. And I think that's the biggest message I'm going to take away from our conversation. And I'm so, so happy we got to speak today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us so much.
Thank you for what you do.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please help us grow our community by sharing this episode with a friend, colleague, and on your social media platforms.
And don't forget to subscribe and follow us on Instagram at They'll Be Fine.
NCAGT provides you with resources like this podcast. Please find us on social media or visit our website at ncagt.org to learn more.
Please note, the thoughts and ideas shared in this podcast are as diverse as our guests, not always reflecting the official NCAGT stance. Until next time, stay curious and keep learning, because we can't just hope they'll be fine.